Cleary and, of course, Nicholas Parsons for our Monday night helping of Just a Minute. Comedy coming up next.
Last year, BBC Radio 4 brought you the best comedy from the Edinburgh Festival Fringe.
When I was a kid, all I ever wanted to be was an adult. That's the key to living a content life. Set yourself goals that just happen by default.
I know I have a bit of a weird name. It's basically like Ragu with a D. That's how I remember it.
Now it's time to hear the performers making waves this year.
So are you ready for your first act?
Yay!
It's so great.
Fresh from the Fringe 2018 on Thursday evening at 6:30 on BBC Radio 4.
And back to this evening on Radio 4. And how difficult can it really be to speak on a subject without deviation, hesitation or repetition? Let's find out.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons. And as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, and to welcome to the show four exciting, talented performers, and they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Pam Ayres, and seated on my left, Julian Clary and Josie Lawrence. Please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Hayley Sterling, who helped me with the score. She'll blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And we begin the show this week with Julian Clary. Julian, a free kick. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
I thought all kicks were free, but anyway, it's something that goes on in football, which there's been a wealth of recently on the television. Three matches a day. Oh, goodness me. Yes, a free kick. I think someone does something wrong and then it is awarded to the opposition and they all line up and scratch their heads and do a bit of spitting. Sometimes they cover their private parts in case this kick goes into their genital region, and that would be awful, wouldn't it? That would be a very expensive kick. Free kicks are...
Pam Ayres challenged.
I thought there was hesitation.
I think you were right, Pam. You get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject. There are 26 seconds available. A free kick starting now.
My friends have got donkeys called Poitou, and they are from France and famous for their long, shaggy coat. Any time if you walk past the rear department of one of these equines, you can be guaranteed to receive a free kick from one of its brown, shiny hooves. This creature is not at all fussy.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was Pam Ayres, so she's now not only in the lead, she's the only one to have any points at the end of that round. And Josie Lawrence, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject, the garden centre. Tell us something about the garden centre in this game, starting now.
I don't like designer shops for shoes and handbags and jewellery, but a day out at the garden centre and I am anybody's. It's just wonderful. Let's first of all go to the little place where they sell the solar lights and the little mobiles that you can hang in the branches. I adore that place. And then out into the air.
Julian Challenge.
Repetition of place.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, another place.
I got carried away because I love them so much.
I know. I
could say, I'm assuming here, if you go to a garden centre, you are anybody's.
Yeah. Well, I mean, get it where you can.
Yeah. Do the men have a hard time finding the clematis?
No.
Julian, correct challenge. And you have 36 seconds if you need it. And the subject is the garden centre, starting now.
I once had terrible trouble forcing my rhubarb, so I went down to the garden centre to seek advice. And you know, Josie's right, they are wonderful places. Not just plants and soil and wheelbarrows, all that kind of carry-on. No, there's a cafe there, and you can get a three-course meal at a very reasonable price. And the class of person at garden centres is amazing. Rustic types, men with grubby hands and stubble, or middle-aged women mincing around saying, oh, I fancy a nice pink geranium. I was there for, goodness me, must have been...
So as I said before, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gain the extra point, and it was the case of Julian Clary, and he's in the same position with Pam Ayres. They both have 2 points each. The other two have yet to score, but it is early days, and Pam, we're with you to begin, and the subject is copper. Tell us something about copper in this game, starting now.
I have two memories of copper. One is of my dad saying, you're be, here's a few coppers, go down the sweet shop and buy thyself a bag of lollies, which was really nice, and by which he meant the coins made of copper which were in his pocket. The other connotation is of the village policeman, who we didn't like very much because he had to be nosy and to be informed of all the activities and nefarious things that the populace was getting up to. But on the other hand, you had to consider that if anything went wrong and you were in trouble or you were trying to fill in a form that you couldn't understand, you could go to the copper and he could be depended upon.
Oh, Paul Challenge.
Well, repetition of could quite quickly. You could
yes,
go to the copper
could
and
listen,
he could be...
Yes, you could that, so... Well, listen, Paul, you... I know it's when someone's going so well and goes for so long, it doesn't seem fair, but those are the rules of the game. And, Paul, you have a correct challenge, so you have 8 seconds still available. Tell us something about copper, starting now.
In the film The Blue Lamp, Dirk Bogart says to George Dixon, I'll drop you, copper, outside the cinema that he's robbing. And this was not the end...
So Paul Merton, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. And Paul, we're with you to begin a subject, old-fashioned comedy world. George Formby. I'm sure you know something about him, but tell us in this game, starting now.
Very popular film comedian in the 1930s and 40s. When he was touring around the music halls in the 50s, a woman pointed at a poster of him and said to the small child she was with, look, that's what you'll end up looking like if you don't stop playing with yourself. And he heard this exchange because he wasn't particularly a good-looking man with his buck teeth and his eyes were quite close together, but he was an expert on the instrument called the banjolele, which is a cross between a banjo and a ukulele. And he was so popular in other European countries, such as Russia, he was given the Stalin Award for heroism or something like that, and he was seen as a great...
Julian Challenge.
Oh, it was ages ago, but it was repetition of popular.
Oh, yes, it was popular at the beginning and popular in Russia.
Yeah.
So, Julian, a point to you for a correct challenge, and 27 seconds are still available. Tell us something about George Formby, starting now.
George Formby learnt his act more or less from his father, although he never saw him appear live. Someone else coached him after his pa died.
Josie Challenge.
Yes, hesitation.
Yes, you got in first, and hesitation's correct. And you have 19 seconds if you need it on George Formby, starting now.
Mother, that man's outside, leaning on the lamppost, waiting for me to go by. I think he's stalking me. That's how George Formby got the idea for that song. He also...
Julian Challenge.
No, he didn't.
Well... world and being imaginary.
Oh, do carry on then.
Thank you.
I don't think he wrote the song.
He did in my world and being imaginary.
Yeah, she did establish it was her imagination. Prompted by that.
Yeah.
So you get the benefit of the doubt.
Thank you,
and
thank you.
And you have 7 seconds still available, and another point, of course. Tell us something about George Formby, starting now.
He also sang something about a little stick of Blackpool rock that he would suck on while...
So it's very even pegging, and Josie got a point for speaking as the whistle went. She's now equal with Julian Clary. They're both 1 point ahead of Paul and Pam. And Julian, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is my favourite cafe. Tell us something about that subject in this game. 60 seconds if you need it, starting now.
My favourite cafe is called The Greasy Sandwich, run by a man called Brutus. And after his English breakfast, you'll have trouble walking home, is all I can say. It is a very unpretentious place. There's grease cloths and paper plates, but the food is something you go back for time after time. A lot of...
It's so natural to say it, isn't it? But not in just a minute. So, Josie, your turn.
Repetition.
Yes. And you have 37 seconds if you need it. My favourite cafe, Josie, starting now.
My favourite cafe, I can't give too much away because I don't want loads of people to go there, but it's in the East End and is owned by friends of mine. It's also connected to a delicatessen, so you can choose things, the cornucopia of different foods from the counter, then sit outside and watch the world go by. And that's what I like to do. I sit there with my cup of coffee.
And Julian Challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes, correct challenge, Julian. My favourite cafe is with you. 11 seconds starting now.
I've changed my mind. The Café de Paris is my particular one that I go to. So elegant. No common people at all. Waiters with bow ties.
Julian Clary speaking as a whistle wind gained that extra point for doing so. And he's now one ahead of Josie Lawrence in that order, and then the other two are following. And Josie Lawrence, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject, a barge. Tell us something about a barge in this game, starting now.
It's funny how the word barge can be so aggressive. Don't barge into me. And that the actual vehicle itself, a barge, is such a relaxing way to spend time. There's a wonderful programme with Timothy West and Prunella Scales. I don't know if...
Prime challenge.
That programme's not about barges, it's about narrowboats, and there's a difference because a narrowboat is 7 feet wide and a barge...
And now you know what a barge feels like.
I'm not going to judge on that one.
No,
I'm sure some people call a narrowboat a barge on occasions.
No, there is a definite difference.
I didn't know that.
No, a narrowboat is 7 feet wide. Anything over 7 feet wide is a barge.
Oh, right.
So they are often wrongly called...
Save it, darling, because you're going to get in now. Because you have a correct challenge. You have 44 seconds. Tell us about a barge, starting now.
The old Wilson Barks Canal used to flow through Uffington, and as a child, I stood on the banks and imagined the craft as they travelled along it, loaded in my imagination.
Paul Challenge.
I don't know if I'm right here, because I don't imagine, but do canals flow?
Yes.
Do they?
Yes.
They're not stationary.
Aren't they?
Definitely. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, I just didn't know. I always sort of think of them as still water, but no, they flow, do they?
They flow around Effington.
They flow, do they?
So, Paul, an incorrect challenge.
Yeah, Pam, incorrect, you still challenge, have a subject. I've learned something.
And you have 30 seconds to go, Pam, on a barge, starting now.
Cargoes of molasses, brown sugar, sugar cane, and types of things.
Josie, your challenge.
Sorry, is sugar cane and sugar... are they two different words?
Yes, so definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. I know that, I know. Sugar cane's 7 inches wide. And tiny little people.
So, Pam, another point to you and 23 seconds available. A barge starting now.
They used to say that bargees stole children from the banks, and I was always rather frightened to stand on the banks, even of the old... Oh, bugger.
Repetition of the banks.
Was, yes.
No, she said banks and then bank.
I did.
Did you, Pam?
Yeah.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah. I did.
Okay, well...
She said I was then very nervous to stand on the bank. I don't think she repeated banks. Did you, Pam?
No.
Thank you. Anyway, the benefit of the doubt, whatever happens.
Well, we'll all hear it when it goes out, won't we?
13 seconds, Pam. A barge.
Why did you say, oh, bugger, by the way? Was that the name of the barge?
Yes, it was, it was. It was Bugger the Barge.
Yeah.
A well-known craft.
Rather unfortunate follow-up to Thomas the Tank Engine. And Bugger the Barge came over.
13 seconds, Pam. A barge starting now.
Ghostly apparition of a barge looming through the mists, ready to snatch unsuspecting juveniles from the edges of the canal. This was...
So Pam Mayers was then speaking as the whistle went again, that extra point for doing so, and she has increased her lead at the end of that round. She's just 1 point separates them all. Pam Mayers, June Clary, Josie Lawrence, and Paul Merton in that sequence. And Pam, we're actually back with you to begin, and the subject I have here is outer space. We get around, don't we, a barge, outer space, but that's the subject, Pam. Go with it if you can, starting now.
I can understand my home, garden, village, county, country, continent, but not so much planet. I find the vastness so terrifying and so...
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of so, unless yeah. Pam has a different story. Mm. Which I'd love to hear. Yeah.
No, Paul, you have a correct challenge.
Oh, do I?
You can save your sarcasm.
Isn't that sweet?
Yes, you said that. And you have 43 seconds on this occasion for outer space, starting now.
So I turned to Buzz Aldrin and I said, this is not my idea of an holiday. As we headed towards the moon and I could see outer space all outside the window, and I realised as I turned to my fellow astronaut...
Josie Challenge.
Repetition of turned.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, that's right. Well, listen, Josie. And you have 33 seconds. You tell us something about outer space, starting now.
Apparently soon you'll be able to have holidays outer space. In Russia, if you're very, very wealthy...
Oh. Oh. It's such a natural way of speech, isn't it?
Paul, it shows uncomfortable with everyone, doesn't it?
Repetition of USSR. No, of very.
You're okay. Very, right. Yeah. 26 Absolutely. Seconds, Paul. Outer space, back with you, starting now.
In 100 years' time, it's believed that humankind will place their first foot on Mars, and there they will find an iconographic statue of none other than Nicholas Parsons, whose radio shows have been beamed out to that alien planet a long time ago. The Martians will gither around.
Pam Challenge.
Well, we're not talking about Mars, we're talking about outer space.
Oh, where's that then? Outside Milton Keynes?
Well, Pam, no, I always considered Mars and those other planets to be in outer space. I
yes,
don't know where
outer
space,
space
is supposed to begin or finish.
Outer space is what wraps them up, Nicholas.
Listen, I gave the benefit of the doubt to you last time against
okay,
Paul.
All right.
I'm going to give it to Paul this time against you, so it's even then.
I'm floundering.
Right.
All right.
Nine seconds available, so Paul, to you on outer space, starting now.
The space rocket crept out of Earth's atmosphere and we looked around at the vast blackness.
Julian Challenge.
We've had vast before.
Yes, you did have vast.
Did we?
Yes, vast space.
I thought that was me.
Hmm. What?
I don't remember saying it, but I'm sure I did.
I said it.
Ah, well, maybe that was the mistake.
I don't know.
What
does
the audience
think? I don't know, but I don't know that I didn't, so.
What does the audience think? Did he say it before?
Yes. Oh,
no, it was...
Let's say I did. I did, yeah. I did.
You'll be a noble.
Julian, 3 seconds available.
Oh, 3 seconds. No, I didn't say it. I thought I was bound to get it back, but you've only got 3 seconds. You've got no chance.
No. So, Julian, 3 seconds on outer space, starting now.
Outer space.
Paul Chan.
Sadly, hesitation. No.
Paul, well, I'll be very generous in view of what's all gone on just a moment ago. I'll give you a bonus point for your humour and the laughter, but you had an incorrect challenge, Julian. Another point to you, and 2.5 seconds now.
Oh, so half a second had passed then.
Yeah. Outer space, starting now.
How dreary. You might as well go to Ashford, that's all I can say.
So it's very even if you're interested in the score. Josie Lawrence is only 1 point behind Paul Merton, and he's only 1 point behind our joint leaders, Julian Clary and Pam Ayers. And Paul, we're with you to begin. A harmonica. Tell us something. Why isn't it an harmonica? I don't know.
Anharmonica, what should it be?
And you have 60 seconds, Paul, if you want it, starting now.
Anharmonica, aharmonica, however you describe it, it is a simple instrument that's musical that you can keep in your pocket and play at any given time. I once met the harmonica player, Larry Adler, and it was because I was doing a Radio 4 show, and I was very keen to meet him because he'd once played tennis with Greta Garbo, Groucho Marx and Charlie Chaplin in a doubles tournament. And I thought it was a fascinating piece of movie history. Harmonica's played a large large part in the Goon Show when Max Geldray, who is a professional man of that particular noise-making thing, and he would appear in various extracts and he would say things like, "Hello, my name is what I mentioned before, and I play This Is What I Said Earlier." And this was an extraordinary moment for people who listened to the particular...
Julian Janet.
What? Yes, it was hesitation.
Yes, it was. You came
was
to
it?
A halt. Yes, you came to a halt.
Did I?
You were going so fast.
I was going too fast, wasn't I? Yeah.
So, Julian, you've got him with 17 seconds to go, and harmonica, 17 seconds starting now.
The harmonica is one of many instruments that I am adept at. I wrap my lips around the harmonica and off I go. You can't help but tap your feet when you hear me play. I'm also good at the guitar, but that would be deviation, so I'm going to return.
Paul Chalmers.
Well, it's deviation.
Paul, you cleverly got him with 2 seconds to go.
Oh, that's outrageous.
And harmonica, a harmonica, whichever you want, starting now.
As the first notes drifted across...
So, at the end of that round, Josie Lawrence and Pam Ayres are equal, or almost equal, in third place. No, they're in second place, aren't they? Because Paul Merton and Julian Clerier are equal in the lead. And Julian, we're back with you to begin. Broadway. Tell us something about Broadway in this game, starting now.
I first appeared on Broadway in 1985 in a production of West Side Story. I was a jet. I was very convincing. I used to waddle around with my legs wide apart. And I...
I thought it was a hesitation.
It nearly was. It wasn't quite, Pam. I don't think so.
It was quite a prolonged and.
I don't remember that particular choreography, wandering around with your legs wide apart. Yeah. It was probably a radical interpretation.
You had to be there, I think.
I know. I don't know, I missed it.
How do you wander with legs wide apart? Your legs would be quite close if you were wandering.
Oh, you can get used to anything, Nicholas.
Right. Julian, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. It was an incorrect challenge, and so you have another point, and you have 46 seconds. Broadway, starting now.
I then appeared on Broadway in A Streetcar Named Desire as that brute wearing a wife-beater vest. And it was an award-winning performance, and I believe I took home an Oscar and a Tony.
Paul Chalmers.
Not for a stage performance, you didn't. You could have got a Tony Award.
I just said a Tony.
No, you
see what
said
I'm
Oscar.
Saying?
You said an Oscar.
And a Tony.
Yeah, but you can't. An Oscar's for film. You can't get an Oscar for stage work.
Oh, I see. Oh, who knew?
Yeah. Everybody, I think.
Well, they do now. 31 seconds, Paul. Another point to you. Broadway is the subject, starting now.
I was walking down Tooting Broadway with my friends Oscar and Tony when I suddenly saw the Granada. And what a magnificent bingo hall that was. Initially built as a cinema in the 1930s, its ornate structure is a wonder to behold. You see these particularly elaborate designs as you look up inside these golden curlicues, and you can imagine people from the olden days wandering around, dressed as usherettes, shining their torches in their face, and you can't do that in here, mate. And there would be an enormous crowd gathering to see the latest movies.
Right. So Paul Merton was speaking at that whistle went, gained that extra point. He's 1 point behind Alina Julian Clary, and he's a few points ahead of Pam Ayres and Josie Lawrence. And Josie, it's back with you to begin. Tarot cards. I don't know whether that's your area of knowledge and interest, but speak on the subject, starting now.
I had my tarot cards read once on the Isle of Wight. There's quite a few people over there that do that kind of things, and mediums and stuff. So what happens is you cut the cards and they place them out in front of the table. There's things like the sun and the moon, the priestess, the hanged man. I drew that and was a little bit scared, but apparently he can mean very positive. I was going to say things again.
Julian, you chapter.
Hesitation.
It was a hesitation, yes. So, Julian, you have the subject. Another point, of course. tarot cards. 32 seconds starting now.
I think tarot cards are the devil's work. I once wandered into a booth with someone who called herself Madame Petrolengo, and the things she told me about my future don't bear repeating. Just a minute wasn't there for a start. Apparently, I was going to go up a mountain in Switzerland and learn to yodel. I think she was talking in code, because something very similar did occur, but this is not the sort of thing people want to listen to while they're preparing their lunch of a Sunday. Yes, tarot cards, no good will come of them.
Right, so Julian Clary, speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And we are moving into the final round. And I'll give you the scores as we do that. Pam Ayres and Josie Lawrence are almost equal in third place. They're just behind Paul Merton, who's 3 points behind Julian Clary, who's in the lead. And Pam Ayres, we're with you to begin. And the subject is In the Fast Lane. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I have always believed in living life in the fast lane. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, bondage, S&M. I've managed to avoid them all and have instead used to the glorification of my life the business of travel. I have stood agog at the foot of erupting volcanoes, have gazed into the spectacular caverns of the Grand Canyon and marvelled at the crumbling glaciers of New Zealand. All these things I have gathered about me, all these experiences.
Josie Chance.
I'm going to say a repetition of all these, because
yes,
they were all so these close together.
Yes, yes. So, Josie, you've got in with 22 seconds to go, another point, of course. In the Fast Lane, starting now.
In the Fast Lane was something that I used to like doing when I had my old Merc. Motorways were especially...
Paul Challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed. In the Fast Lane is with you now, Paul, with 14 seconds to go, starting now.
I was running with a wild gang in the 1980s. Our hero was Nicholas Parsons. Drug addict, sex maniac. He was all these things.
Pam Challenge.
Now, there was a stumble on maniac. Hesitation.
You'd stumble if you were running with us in the 1980s.
And you didn't have him for deviation of what he said about me.
No. Well, everybody knows it's true. Sailor of the Century was just a blind.
Pam, you had a correct challenge. You have In the Fast Lane, 7 seconds available, starting now.
I have never fancied injecting my pristine body with chemicals of any kind, to be honest.
Pam Ayres, speaking with a little wind, gain that extra point. And for those interested in the points and the scores, I will give you the final situation. Josie Lawrence, who gives such value always, didn't get quite as many points as the others, so she finished in fourth place. Just ahead of her was Pam Ayres, who always gives great value. She didn't get quite enough points to win, and she was just 1 point behind Paul Merton. And Paul was only 1 point behind Julian Clary. So, Julian, 1 point ahead, we say, you are our winner this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Pam Ayres, Josie Lawrence and Julian Clary. I think Hayley Sterling, who's helped me with the score, blows her whistle with such elegance when the 60 seconds have elapsed. We thank our producer, Richard Morris. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're deeply indebted to this lovely audience who've cheered us on our way magnificently. So from them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, goodbye. Tune in again the next time we play Just a Minute.